Welcome to Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. I'm Kate Burdett. Coming up, the open shelter in Columbus is in urgent need of some supplies to help them serve people in the community who are un- or marginally housed. The shelter's resource development coordinator shares what's on their wish list, as well as an opportunity to have your monetary donation matched. Also, the Contemporary Theater of Ohio is getting ready to start its new season. Artistic director of the theater, Lita Hoffman, shares more about that and other highlights. Plus, Clay Gordon is filling in for Doug Petcash of Face the State with a look at state politics. First up, on Columbus Perspective, the Open Shelter is an advocacy center and day services shelter for unhoused and marginally housed people in Central Ohio, providing crucial needs directly to people in crisis. Today, the resource development coordinator for the shelter, Harry Yeprim Jr., joins us. They have an urgent need for some specific items for the people that they serve. And they also have a great program going on right now where your donations will be matched when you make them. Hi, Harry. Thanks so much for joining us today on Columbus Perspective.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very well. It sounds like there's, first of all, some things that you could really use at the shelter that a lot of people listening probably say, oh, I can help with that.
Yeah, we always can use, first and foremost, we can always use food, clothing, and hygiene items. But we do have some urgent needs right now that we're trying to get in stock and make sure we have enough on hand to serve our guests. And that's styrofoam cups, first and foremost. That's for our meal program. Then we need paper towels and cleaning supplies and underwear for all genders and all sizes. And then we also need cold medication, cold and cough medication for adults and children as we're getting ready for the school season and, unfortunately, the flu and cold season.
Now, Harry, approximately how many people would you say you're serving per day, per week, per month? How do you measure that at the open shelter?
Well, we do it by day, but so far in 2024, we have served over 1,700 individual men, women, and children. And on a typical day, we see anywhere from 200 to upwards of 300 people come through our doors.
Well, that's pretty significant when you think about numbers like that. For those listening who'd like to make a donation of one of the items or more of the items that you mentioned, how can they go about doing that? Will they be bringing it to you?
Yeah, you can bring it to us. We are open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 1037 Parsons Avenue. And that's Columbus, Ohio, 43206. If you want to send items to that address, you can as well. I know people like to use Amazon. That's always an option. And we're here 9 to 2 Monday through Friday if people have those items they'd like to drop off to us.
Harry,
and it would help so much.
Harry, can you tell us a little more about, you mentioned your meal program and, you know, of course, overall the fact that what you do is help people who don't necessarily have a roof over their head. Tell us a little more about the process. When someone says, I'm going to go to the shelter for some help, what do they experience?
Well, hopefully they experience a warm and inviting place, a place where they can feel safe. Our motto, our tagline, for lack of a better term, is staying behind with those left behind. So we see a lot of people who have nowhere else to turn, who may have exhausted other options, may have burned some bridges, unfortunately, in other places or with family and friends. So hopefully we're welcoming and inviting, and anyone can come through our doors. We only get a little information, and basically what we want to know is, where is someone coming to us from? Are they coming to us from off the streets, outside? Are they coming to us from another shelter? Are they housed? Since we moved here on Parsons Avenue about 2.5 years ago, we are helping a lot of people in the 43206 zip code that are housed, that have homes, they have households, but they need to stretch their budget. They need to come to us to get help to get through the week, get through the day, get through the month. So we try to have a hot meal first and foremost to start the day. We have sack lunches that different churches and businesses and families and groups provide to us. And then on certain days, Oh, we have certain services, certain items we offer, like first and second Monday. People who are housed can come to us for clothing. And then on Tuesdays, we have what's called our camper's closet. And that is open to anyone who's living outside, living on the streets. They can come in for food, a food bag, what we call to-go meals, clothing. We offer hygiene kits as well, the first Wednesday every other month on even numbered months. So we offer a lot of crucial needs, but we do use that as a stepping stone to build up trust and comfort with our guests to where they will also rely on us for the next step, those supportive services. We have payee-ships. We have about 30 plus people we help manage their money. A lot who are getting Social Security benefits. We're making sure that they use those benefits to pay rent if they're housed, to pay bills, just to make sure that they're using their money properly. And you also have a birth certificate and state ID program as well. A lot of people that we serve don't have those items or need to reacquire them and need those for health care, housing, employment, things like that. So there's a lot of services we offer here at our building on Parsons, and the only way we can do that is because of the support of the Central Howe community and beyond.
We're talking to Harry Yeprem Jr., the Resource Development Coordinator for the Open Shelter on Parsons Avenue. Not only do they have an urgent need for several items that Harry mentioned, among them paper towels, underwear for all genders in all sizes, styrofoam cups, all of the things that they need to help people who are marginally or unhoused in the Central Ohio community. And as Harry said, some people who actually do have a home still come to the Center for Resources. And that's so important, I would imagine, with all of the talk we hear nowadays about inflation, about everyone paying more for everything. I'm sure there's a lot of families and individuals in Columbus who are not expecting to find themselves in a situation where they need this sort of help. But thank goodness these resources are there for them.
Yeah, and affordable housing, that is so hard to find now. It's really, really hard. We have some of our guests, a few of our older guests, who are finding themselves getting into a little bit of a troubling situation where their rent's increasing and it's getting harder and harder for them to stay afloat. So they have to make those tough decisions. Keep paying my rent, or do I, try to keep the food in the refrigerator, keep my refrigerator stock? So we try to help as much as we can with that as well for people who need to stretch their budget and get through, just basically to get through day to day.
And sometimes that's all you can do. And thank goodness for places like the Open Shelter that can help people with that. Speaking of budget, speaking of numbers, August Match Mania is going on through the 16th of August. Harry, tell us a little bit about how that works. We're talking about cash donations here, right?
Through Friday, August 16th. What's going on there is we have one of our loyal donors, a generous donor, who is pledging a $5,000 donation, a $5,000 gift, if our other supporters, and hopefully we get some new supporters as well, can match that. So if we raise 5,000, hopefully we actually raise more. We always strive for more, but if we can raise at least $5,000, this generous donor will match it and make a $5,000 gift of his own.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Where is the best place for someone to go if they'd like to make a monetary donation to the Open Shelter?
The best place regarding Match Mania is probably online through our website, theopenshelter.org. And then you'll also see links on our social media. We have Facebook and X and even TikTok now. We've joined that group, and they can see that on there as well. But I also want to just also throw it out there that if somebody wants to mail in a donation, if somebody wants to send a check, we still accept those two. I would just ask if they could put in the memo line August Match Mania so we know it's going towards the match.
That makes perfect sense. The openshelter.org is where to go to make those donations online and to learn more about this wonderful resource on Parsons Avenue. Harry, is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we finish up today?
Well, I just want to say thank you to everyone in the Central Ohio community that has made the Open Shelter possible and that keeps the Open Shelter open. We have been around for 40 plus years. We started over near Franklinton, where COSI is now in that area. We did have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week shelter there, but when that got redeveloped, we had to move away, and eventually we morphed into this day services shelter and advocacy center. And we went through a number of different locations of our own. In fact, we were kind of in a similar situation to a number of our guests, where we didn't have a permanent home for a little while. But thanks to the support of so many out there in Central Ohio and beyond, we are able to be there for the most vulnerable and help out every weekday. And I just want to say thank you to everyone for that.
And what's the slogan again that you like to use for the Open Shelter?
Staying behind with those left behind. Another one we like to use as well that our original director, Kent Bidle, would always throw out there is that we are a covered piece of the sidewalk. Oh. So we're down there on the ground floor with those that we are helping.
I can't think of a better way to describe what you are doing for the Central Ohio community. And thank you, Harry, and all of your colleagues. And if you'd like more information, again, that website is theopenshelter.org.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. I'm Kate Burdett. The Contemporary Theater of Ohio is getting ready to kick off its 2024-2025 season with a lot of exciting things on the horizon, including a new show that has some great Ohio roots. We're talking today with the artistic director of the Contemporary, Lita Hoffman. Hi, Lita. Thanks for joining us on Columbus Perspective.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
I know we've talked to you before, but before we get started, give us a little bit of background, because the Contemporary Theater of Ohio was recently renamed, right?
Yeah, so a little over a year ago, we renamed CATCO to become the Contemporary Theater of Ohio, and that's tied to our roots from our founding, which is 40 years ago. So we're celebrating our 40th anniversary season, and CATCO stands for the Contemporary American Theater Company. And as lots of folks didn't know that, we decided to rename ourselves in a way that everyone can understand what kind of plays the Contemporary did.
I think you hit the nail on the head with this one. So let's talk about Big Fish. That is the new musical that you're using to kick off your season.
Yeah, so we are starting in mid-September with a production of an amazing, gorgeous, epic musical called Big Fish. Many people have probably seen the movie or read the novel, and there is a musical version that's been on Broadway. It's been on stages across the country, and we are bringing that musical to Columbus this coming September. And we're really excited because the music and lyrics were written by Columbus-based composer Andrew Lippa.
He's been Tony nominated, right?
He has, uh-huh.
Definitely a legit theater person. It sounds like a fantastic show. Can you give us kind of a thumbnail of what to expect on stage for this one?
Yeah, so Big Fish tells the story of this guy named Edward Bloom, who is trying to connect with his son. And by doing that, he's a traveling salesman, and he keeps coming back with these crazy and amazing fantastical stories. He met a witch. He met a mermaid. His best friend was a giant. He worked for the circus. He has an incredible, beautiful love story. And as he gets older, his adult son is trying to figure out, what about these stories that my dad told me are true? And who is this guy and how do I know him? So it is like a really fun show, you know, for really mid-elementary school and up and families that has all of the fantastical wonder that I think so much theater and musical theater specifically can bring us, with also this gorgeous heart family-centered question that I think so many of us are grappling with, which is, what is our legacy and how do we better understand our parents or our grandparents as they're getting older in terms of what their lives really looked like?
It's been said this is a great show for adult children to experience with their parents. And as an adult child of parents, I can definitely relate to that. I think most of us can. As you age, you see things a little differently. And what a great way to explore this with this type of artistic expression on stage.
You get to see the characters too, like at different ages, right? So you're going to see a kid become an adult child, and then one actor plays the main character, Edward, and he's going to play this character all the way from age 10 all the way up into his 60s.
Oh, wow. That sounds fantastic. What is the opening date for this show?
September 12th is when performances start. We have two Pay What You Want previews, and then our opening night is September 14th.
I'm glad you said Pay What You Want, because that is a feature of your productions that I wanted to ask you about. How does Pay What You Want work?
Yeah, we want to make sure that anyone, regardless of price point, can see our work. And so we make sure that the first two performances of a show, you can just show up an hour before the show, or usually, you know, if the tickets haven't sold out by then, even 10 minutes before the show, buy a ticket for whatever you choose and you want to pay, and we'll get you in.
The Contemporary Theater of Ohio is the leading professional equity theater company. That word equity is important. That means the actors are working under the auspices of Actors Equity, which is essentially their union, right?
Yeah, correct.
And with that in mind, it means what you're going to see on stage is some pretty high quality stuff. There's a lot of great theater out there. And the Contemporary Theater of Ohio is one opportunity here in Central Ohio to experience that. We're talking with the Contemporary's artistic director, Lita Hoffman. It's been a busy summer for your theater. I know you did some summer camp activities with students. What type of activities do you have coming up in the new school year that are educational for young people?
Yeah, so we just opened registration for our Saturday Morning Musicals program. So that's where young people are coming together to write their own musical. And they meet every Saturday morning this fall. And then they're going to be performing on our set in October at the Rice Center. So this is a program geared to students who love acting, who love writing, who love telling stories, of all experience levels are welcome. And then we're also going to continue our in-school programming. So we're in a lot of classrooms with our teaching artists who are working alongside classroom teachers to use theater to teach academic skills. And then we've got a whole host of after school programs as well with our partners.
Such exciting opportunities for young people in Central Ohio that have an eye on theater that say that might be something that I want to do, to kind of get in, get a hands-on experience and really learn about the business of theater and all of that behind the scenes, pardon the pun, but it is literal here, work that goes into putting one of these amazing productions on the stage. Lita, what would you say to anyone listening who says, I'm just not into theater. I don't know. Should I go to one of these shows? How do you describe the live theater experience to a newbie?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're someone who loves a good story, loves a good TV drama, loves going to the movies, or even just sitting on your couch and watching a movie, there's something that's just another step that is so exciting to be in the room with the people telling these stories. And I love to tell people that the Contemporary, we only have about 200 seats. So you're not really far away from the action. You really get to feel that live energy that comes from the theater. And it's just a fun thing to come try out, give it a go. A story like Big Fish has lots of music and dancing and all of that amazing entertainment value. And then we've got shows later in the year. If you're not a people breaking out in song person, where you can just come see some amazing acting performances as well.
In that intimate sort of setting that Lita described, it's a Studio One at the Verne Rife Center, and in mid-September, the 40th season of the Contemporary Theater of Ohio, formerly known as CATCO, will be kicking off with the musical Big Fish. Let's talk about tickets. Do you have subscription opportunities for fans who would like to attend all of your shows for the season?
Yeah, absolutely. The best way to support the theater, honestly, is to subscribe and say, hey, I'm in for all four shows that you're doing this year. And this year we're throwing in a bonus ticket for subscribers to our one woman production of A Christmas Carol. And so for just around $200, you can get tickets to all five of those productions and pick the dates that you want to come and see those. And then, of course, we have single tickets on sale for all of the productions coming up this season as well.
And what's the website where we can get information about your 40th season, Lita?
Our website is thecontemporaryohio.org.
Perfect. We're looking forward to everything that you have to offer this season, especially the kickoff with Big Fish. Lita Hoffman, Artistic Director of the Contemporary Theater of Ohio. Is there anything we forgot?
No, thank you so much for talking about our season, and we're just so excited to see new and old faces joining us this year.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Now, courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10 TV, here's Clay Gordon from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10 TV.
Ohio's U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown telling Face the State why he's throwing his support behind Vice President Kamala Harris.
I'm not a pundit. I'm not a commentator. My job is to focus on, you know, things like the American Flag Act, on veterans, and making sure that our government serves our people better than we have in the past.
Right now, the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee is continuing her campaign across the country, visiting major swing states along the way, all as we head into an extremely close and competitive November election. Thanks for joining us for Face the State. I'm Clay Gordon. Doug Petcash has the morning off. This election could come just down to a small handful of states, and the outcome could have an impact far beyond who controls the White House. Now, that's why we are joined now in studio with our political expert, David Niven. David, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
He's a political science professor at the University of Cincinnati. Now, David, we want to start with this first thing. Let's talk about the larger picture with this election. In just a moment from now, we'll be covering that. But the election is really coming down to just a few swing states. You see them right here in the gray. And you'll notice, though, Ohio is in red here. So my main question to you right now is, do you think former President Donald Trump has this locked up?
Well, the short answer is yes.
Okay.
When people voted largely on economics in Ohio, then Ohio was the ultimate competitive state because we have a very diverse economy with manufacturing, agriculture. This is a state that's economy looks a lot like America. But when people are voting demographics, Ohio doesn't really look like America in that regard, really favors the Republicans. And you've seen Democrats have not been able to make any headway statewide in the last presidential elections.
You said it favors Republicans. Is it competitive at all?
Well, Democrats need it to be a little bit competitive because, of course, the U.S. Senate race. So there'll still be a full, you know, party operation in the state. People are going to be coming and knocking on your doors. You're going to see the TV ads. But it's not going to be the presidential elections that folks remember, you know, from the Obama era or the Bush era when, you know, you couldn't go a week without seeing a presidential candidate in the state. We're not going to reach those heights anymore.
So we know the number to win is 270. So let's take a look at the bigger picture right now over the presidency. Now, CBS News says six of the seven battleground states are still a toss-up. Mm-hmm. And we're talking Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. They say North Carolina here is leaning Republican. First of all, do you agree with that?
I would say this is the ballpark here.
Okay.
Probably, you know, from this map, you want to make Georgia a toss-up.
Okay.
You know, and what you see then, of course, is it starts out really, really close. It starts out that this could go either way.
Okay. So if the election was today, what are we thinking here?
Well, the slight advantage for Democrats here is if they can simply take Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, it's 270.
Yeah, they hit 270 right here.
They win the election.
Okay.
They win the election on those three states. So for Democrats, they don't need to win a majority of these toss-ups. If they can win those three, they win. So for Republicans, the scenario is a little bit more challenging. You're talking about having to sweep these four and add to that.
So you said these four right here, right?
So if you sweep those four, look where you are. You're at 268. You still need to add one more state.
Okay.
So the bottom line is, in these competitive states, Democrats probably have a minor advantage in terms of there's more paths for Democrats to 270 than there are for Republicans.
So we are talking battleground states. We know everyone's hitting these hard. What do you foresee happening in the few weeks to come here?
Right. Well, you know, the race has a major, major shakeup in, obviously, the replacing of President Biden with Vice President Harris. And what you saw, frankly, with President Biden is all these states' battleground polls looked weak, every single one. There wasn't, not only wasn't there a path to victory there wasn't even a path to, you know, a pulse in the race. And so obviously everything has changed here. You know, what we're seeing, and think about what we have here. This is Democratic governor. An awful lot of these are places where the Democratic Party has a good base to work from.
What do you think it will take, you know, especially with potentially an upcoming debate? Do you think the debate, if it happens, do you think that will sway any voters?
Well, one of the really odd things about this particular election is, you know, Kamala Harris is known but not all that well defined. She's been on the stage. People know her as a presence, but she has not been heard from nearly as much as you would normally have in a national candidate for the presidency right now. So it's wide open in terms of her introduction, you know, both in terms of debates, but everything that her campaign does is potentially breaking new ground. This is like introducing a new character in a TV show or something. There's a lot of open space for her right now.
Could you say the same thing for the Republican side? Obviously, here in Ohio, we know J.D. Vance very, very well, but it appears that nationwide, not many people know him yet.
Well, certainly. You know, J.D. Vance was not well-known nationwide. He wasn't even that well-known statewide.
Sure.
But the rollout's been a little bumpy. He's one of the rare vice presidential candidates who has unfavorable numbers, and they're getting worse over time. So they really need a reset. And I think it was very interesting, one thing that Donald Trump said this week when asked if J.D. Vance was ready to be president. He said, well, the vice president doesn't matter
it's
very much.
It's all about the president.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, which is a very that's almost the answer Eisenhower gave when asked to cite something useful that Richard Nixon had ever done. Well, give me a week and I'll think of something.
All right, so we went through a couple scenarios here. Give me the doomsday scenario of what needs to happen and really change up this map a little
bit. Okay, all right. So you look at this and we have a pretty competitive field here. It could go either way. But think about three states that the Democrats won last time and could win again. Okay, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. And this map shows them getting to 270, they win. But getting to 270 relies on the way that Nebraska divvies up its electors. It gives one per congressional district. So if the Democrats don't get that elector, it's 269 for the Democrats. And if the Republicans sweep these two states, it's 269 for the Republicans. So this scenario, it's not necessarily likely, but it's a possibility. I mean, it's not outlandish to say this is the way it goes, in which case the entire election would be decided by the House of Representatives.
While some races across the country are closer than others, polls show it really comes down to two states, Ohio and Montana. Now, both incumbent senators are Democrats. We are almost deadlocked here. There's two up for a vote here, too. So, David, walk me through the scenarios here and really what this means for, you know, the Senate.
Well, you start from the Democrats right this moment have 51 seats effectively.
Yes.
Republicans 49. But one of those seats is West Virginia, where the Democrat Joe Manchin is retiring. So that is a certain loss for Democrats.
Sure.
So effectively consider this thing tied. It only stays tied if the Democrats win both Montana and Ohio. What's interesting about these two races is these are states Republicans won in the presidential election last time, states Republicans are favored to win in the presidential again. And so this is swimming upstream. These candidates need to perform where their party's not performing.
So, I mean, incumbents, there's a good chance they get reelected, but it's not 100%, right?
Well, think about this. The last 32 races statewide in Ohio, last 32, Republicans won 31 out of 32.
Okay.
So you'd say, all right, this looks pretty hopeless for Sherrod Brown. But Sherrod Brown was the one. He was the one Democrat who won out of those 32. So that is, you know, almost the definition of a toss-up. What these two candidates have in common is John Tester and Sherrod Brown are so well defined. People know them and they feel like they know what they're about, who they stand for. So that's how they've gotten this far. They're winning on who they are, not on what party they're in.
So basically, whoever wins the presidential ticket, you're saying, doesn't always necessarily win the Senate either.
Well, you know, traditionally that would have been the way that the president would carry candidates forward. And most are likely to follow Senate and president, you know, match up. But it's in these little bit of outliers where, you know, that's where the uncertainty lies. And, you know, here's a little extra factor here, of course. Whichever party does win the presidency gets the vice presidency, who's the tie-breaking vote. So if it's 50-50, the Senate will be controlled by whichever party won the White House.
Lastly, let's bring it back here to Ohio. Obviously, tight race between Sherrod Brown and Bernie Moreno. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think what's been odd about this race is Marino has been talking a lot about himself, been talking very personally, and I think for him, this should be a race about party. Party favors him. Sherrod Brown, this is where he wants to just talk about people. He wants to make this race Brown versus Marino.
Excellent. Well, David, I appreciate your time on this Sunday morning. Always great chatting with you, and you're just a wealth of knowledge for us, and I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right.
Columbus Perspective is a public affairs presentation of WBNS Radio. The opinions expressed on this program are those of its guests and do not necessarily reflect those of WBNS Radio, its staff, management, or sponsors.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's more from Face the State, courtesy of 10TV.
This November in Ohio, there will be other major races for voters to weigh in on, including one that's flying under the radar but has a big impact, the Ohio Supreme Court. This election, three seats are on the ballot. Right now, the court is a 4-3 Republican majority. But if Democrats win all three seats, they will hold the court's majority for the first time since the 1980s. Here's who's on the ballot. Democrat Justice Michael Donnelly is running for re-election against Republican Megan Shanahan. The other seat is a battle between two incumbents. Democrat Justice Melody Stewart is trying to keep her seat as Republican Justice Joseph Dieters is leaving his seat to challenge her. By him leaving his seat, that means Democrat Lisa Forbes and Republican Dan Hawkins are competing for the one spot. Ohio is among only just a few states where it's possible for voters to flip partisan control of the Supreme Court. Already, activists and major parties are gearing up for an intense and expensive campaign. Also on the ballot is a constitutional amendment to overhaul Ohio's redistricting system with the goal to end gerrymandering in our state. It's a proposal we've told you about for months, and now Governor Mike DeWine is speaking out against it. 10TV's Tara Jabor reports what the governor says he wants done instead.
Governor Mike DeWine boldly speaking out against the Citizens Not Politicians constitutional amendment on the ballot in November to change the way maps are drawn. That amendment, if passed, would create a group of 15 citizens to create the maps instead of politicians. The group would be split between Democrats, Republicans, and independents.
If this ballot proposal were to be adopted, Ohio would actually end up with a system that compels map drawers to produce gerrymandered districts. After the voters see the results, see the districts that have been produced, voters would once again demand change and would be even more disillusioned with the whole mess.
The governor says he wants to end gerrymandering once and for all in Ohio. He's calling on the legislature to take up the state of Iowa's process of drawing maps. In Iowa, there is a 5-member bipartisan commission that draws the maps. Those maps are then passed on to the state legislatures, who can either accept, reject, or modify the maps.
Maps should be drawn based on population, with no consideration of past partisan voting patterns.
The governor showed several maps that focused on proportionality, something he says the amendment focuses on for map drawing. David Niven, political science professor at the University of Cincinnati, calls DeWine's attempts to show the maps he believes would happen is a, quote, distraction tactic.
This is not the way maps are actually drawn. And we know that. We know we have states where competitiveness is a major theme, but the districts don't wind up looking like crazy zigzagging monsters. The fundamental idea of this constitutional amendment is to take power away from politicians and give it to regular people.
Tara Jabor reporting. We brought the concerns the governor made about the proposed amendment to the group behind it all, Citizens Not Politicians. And they say the governor is simply wrong.
He's horribly misinformed about this amendment. He is trying to claim that it's going to be about party affiliation and red and blue. That's not what it's about. It's about getting politicians out of the map drawing room and making citizens in charge of map drawing.
Chris Davey is a spokesperson for Citizens Not Politicians. He says in addition to creating a commission that has 5 Democrats, 5 Republicans, and 5 independents, there will also be 7 public hearings so everyone can weigh in. Davey says this fix is needed here in Ohio.
Obviously, what we have doesn't work. The governor has said that. And in fact, he has said many times that it didn't work because politicians were still in charge. So we have a solution here that's going to fix that.
Citizens Not Politicians says DeWine's proposal to install a system similar to Iowa's is not going to solve the issue. They say in that system, lawmakers still have the final say on district maps, which is what the group is trying to avoid. The amendment needs a simple majority support from voters to pass in November.
Parenting is hard. Technology can make it harder. The Family Media Plan developed by the American Academy of Pediatrics helps make it easier. Go to healthychildren.org/media plan to create the media plan that's right for your family. Whether you make a full plan or just choose a few parts that matter the most to your family, healthychildren.org/media plan is an easy-to-use tool that will help your family set media priorities and create healthy digital habits in line with your family's values. You'll also get practical tips to help make the plan work. And you can come back to revise your plan as often as you need to, like at the beginning of each school year or during summer and holiday breaks. Raising kids in the age of screens is easier when you have a plan. Go to healthychildren.org/media plan and make your plan today.
Passed.
Thank you, Council President. That's all I have at this time.
And with that, Columbus City Council officially approved its updated zoning code for the first time in 7 decades. It's a process that's taken months, but now it's over. 10TV's Carly Dion continues our coverage and dives into what exactly these changes are.
I think what we heard today is that the will of the people was listened to.
Columbus City Council voting unanimously in favor of making significant changes to its zoning code for the first time in 70 years. The new code will rezone more than 12,000 parcels along a 140-mile stretch of the city's major corridors, which in turn will allow for more mixed-use businesses and housing, something this rapidly growing city desperately needs.
We simply do not have enough homes for all of the people who are here, let alone those who are coming.
Affordable Housing Alliance of Central Ohio Executive Director Carly Booze says the housing market is in a pressure point right now, saying the lack of housing is in part contributing to the lack of affordability.
It costs more to rent a home or to buy a home than a lot of our families are able to afford.
There were fewer housing units built in Columbus last year than the year before, and that's not a trajectory that we can continue on. As it really contributes to making existing housing more expensive.
The new zoning changes also include sustainability efforts like adding landscaping for certain areas and street trees for larger developments. It also eliminates minimum parking requirements for developers. While many people are on board with the changes, some have their reservations.
The proposal is an improvement over what we have right now. I think there are some components of it that we have concerns with.
Northwest Columbus resident Monica Tuttle sharing her concerns with council, saying there are some uses that will now be allowed in her area that have not previously, including car washes, something many have fought against over the years. Meanwhile, other residents like Jonathan B. Shears feel these changes still aren't enough to address the housing issue.
And I think that we need to open up in some of the future initiatives to open up the zoning in a lot of other areas so that we can start to construct more housing units all over the city.
The city worked closely with the community to get feedback throughout this process, something Councilmember Doran says will continue.
But ultimately, we know that there are other issues that have been identified throughout this process that ultimately we're going to have to keep working on. And I think over the next year, we're going to take up some of those issues.
Carly Dion reporting the changes will go into effect August 28th. However, Councilmember Doran says there won't be changes overnight. Rather, we'll start seeing some results over the next 2 to 4 years. Central Ohio continues to grow, but with that growth comes addressing the housing affordability crisis. And right now, creative methods to solve the issue are in the works. 10TV's Kristen McFarland gives us a close-up look at the first 3D-printed home underway in Columbus and how this could impact our housing market.
I spoke to the contractor in charge of 3D printing this home here in Linden. He says he hopes it changes the way houses are built and brings more affordable housing to Columbus.
Layer by layer, a large machine pushes a concrete mix out following the shape of a home.
So for them to pick Columbus to do it, can't get no better than that.
For the first time ever in Columbus, Ohio, a 3D printer is on scene to build a home.
Right across the street from it, we get to see everything firsthand. We get to meet the people that built it.
Mayo McKinday, an Ohio contractor in collaboration with the city, is in charge of building this Linden home. McKinday says 3D printing has many benefits, compared to the normal process of building a home.
Less cost, less material, less manpower.
The material is also equipped to withstand weather conditions, says McKinday. The city is looking forward to integrating the new technology to help create more affordable homes.
Looking at places like Austin, Texas, where they've done a lot of this type of work, we believe that this is an opportunity to stand things up quickly at a very cost-effective way. This is one of the areas that needs a lot of help with housing affordability, and we've seen these prices skyrocket, you know, in the last couple of years.
Instead of 30 people building a home in 1 to 2 months, McKinday says using the 3D printer, the structure can be built within 1 week using only 4 people.
Awesome, because it's new. It's history.
While the industry is still relatively new, contractors say house pricing should go down significantly.
Again, that's courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10 TV. From the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10 TV. This has been Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. Heard each Sunday morning at 6 on WBNS FM 97.1 The Fan and on 1460 AM ESPN Columbus.